Hey folks, today I am just so excited to introduce to you a gal named Georgette O'Brien, and she has been involved and actually started the Transformed Heart Ministries. And this is a wonderful ministry where she teaches women and men how to go out and minister to other people. And I am so thrilled to have her today and hear more about what she's doing. How are you doing today, Georgette?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the ministry, when it got started, and how it got started?
Well, about 4 years ago, three or four years ago, because I don't really have a starting date, I have started this ministry out of frustration. And I guess that's a good place to start when you that I was noticing that the altar prayer ministry of people wasn't happening anymore in the churches. And I noticed that people, when they prayed with each other, because there's no altar ministry, they didn't know how to pray for each other very effectively. And so people were still having the same problems. They weren't leaving transformed. So I just, out of a frustration of that, I grabbed a few people out of a Bible study and said, I'm going to start this ministry, and I'm going to disciple you for 6 weeks. Would you like to join? And I got 8 women to start, and they were just they were ripe, and they started to take the principles that I gave them, and I discipled them, watching over what they were doing right and discouraging the parts that they were doing wrong. And from that, they said, will you do another 6 weeks? So I did another 6 weeks, and now I have a group from that group. They said, would you do another 6 weeks? So I did. I have a level one, a level two, and a level three. And it's turned out to be a 9-month discipleship program that I do that just really helps people to be discipled in understanding how the enemy works, how he gets in people's lives, and how to pray not only to transform their life, but also the life of their family and friends and in the businesses or organizations that they work for. So it's a threefold sort of goal that I have. The Lord told me several years ago, you have the ministry of government, and I said, what does that mean, government? I'm basically a mom and a minister, and the Lord, I looked up the word government, and it said to set things in order. And so I said, well, what do I do to set things in order? And I realized I pray with people. I set the Lord, the heart of man under the government of God. That's the first level. And then setting the heart of families under the government of God. That's the second level. And the third level, then, if we've got those two, we can go and govern the heart of nations and businesses with godly principles and be able to manage and prosper under the, because we're following the word of God. And when we follow the word of God, we're prospered.
That is so awesome. Are these courses all day long, or is it a weekend seminar, an all-week seminar? How is that laid out for people?
At this point, I've done their morning classes. They're 2 hours once a week for 6 weeks, and then I take a break for 2 weeks, and then we start again and do another 6 weeks, and then take a break for two and start again. What I have done is I've noticed it's going kind of slow, and I have so many people that are asking me to work with them that this year the Lord showed me to video the classes, and so I have videoed the classes, and people can now do them in their home and have my workbook as a study so they can actually do it on their own. And I'm also looking to do weekend seminars, although my goal is to disciple, because it really takes time to disciple. Jesus had 12 people he discipled, and from that they were able to take and turn the world around for the Lord. And what I find that's lacking in the church is we have a lot of programs and a lot of weekend conferences, but there's no discipleship where somebody's really standing beside you one by one and getting to know you and pointing out what is good, what God's doing, but also pointing out what he's not doing to really sharpen you and get out those things that the enemy is trying to steal from you. And so I think that's where the church has been lacking, is this lack of mentorship and discipleship. And that's part of what my goal is, and that's why I've done the 9 months, but also now I'm doing the video series so I can be duplicated. And for people that already are spiritually a little bit further along and just need some fine-tuning, I'm doing the weekend conferences. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. One of the things you mentioned was altar ministry, and maybe you want to explain that, because there will be people listening that don't necessarily go to the kind of church that has that, and they may not understand.
Well, the altar ministry is simply when you go to church, the pastor gives a wonderful message. And many times you're inspired and you feel God just moving on you, and there's something you want to do with that message. And if you leave in the cares of this world, going out to breakfast, or your kids are bothering you, or your husband has a business appointment you have to go to right after, the thing that you just heard gets lost. It's kind of like the Matthew 4 or Luke 4 where the seeds, the parable of the seed and the sower, where you throw the seeds and then when the seed went onto the thorns, it says the pleasures and cares of this world choke the word out. And so instead of leaving just right away after the message is given and your heart is pliable and your spirit is convicted, you go to the altar, the pastor invites you to come up and receive more prayer or to do business, quote, with the Lord, so that your heart can be transformed, can really take root of what you just heard. And so because now, though, so many times because our churches are so large and the time is at a premium, they don't have time to do altar ministry. Mm-hmm. And so people leave with being very stirred and very challenged, but it doesn't take root in their heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's my encouragement is, that's where the mentorship, the discipleship really comes in, and I believe in a church, because it gives you time to chew, so to speak, what you just heard and let it really transform not only your heart, but then your mind. And you're able to walk in a stronger foundation and not lose what you just heard.
And you know what I think is so wonderful about your ministry is you teach them about warfare, because so often there are issues of spiritual warfare that really interfere with the effectiveness of prayer. And so people get prayers and they aren't as effective as they wanted them to be, and they begin to lose faith in prayer. And
right.
It's because there are so many issues related to activities of the enemy in their lives that they're completely unaware of. And what a blessing that is for them. So you're really giving them tools that are going to make their prayer life far more effective.
Right. And, you know, most people, what I found is, especially in my classes as they started taking them, so I've had people that have been in Bible studies. I have several that teach CBF and Bible Study Fellowship and never heard this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't believe that there's only two kingdoms on this earth. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan. And every time that we agree with, for instance, for a spirit of offense, when we get offended by somebody and we agree and we become bitter and angry at that person, we are sowing into the kingdom of Satan and not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would say, yeah, what that person did was wrong, but you need to forgive him because I went to the cross for that person and I've forgiven him. And when you don't forgive, it's like you're wanting them to die if you drink poison.
Mm-hmm.
When you drink the poison and you expect them to die, and that's not what happens. You're the one that's tormented, not them. And so the Lord wants us to be free, and we have to learn that we're in a spiritual battle every single day, that the enemy is trying to steal our thoughts and our belief system so that we don't believe God is really who he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's just not on Sundays. That's every single day. So that we take time to check our hearts and say, God, okay, what was it today that I did that I need to repair and repent of? So that I don't carry things in me into the next day that keep me from being ineffective for building the kingdom of God.
I think a lot of people tend to minimize the impact of warfare and its importance in our walks because it's too scary to think about. And that sort of tells me that they haven't really schooled themselves in exactly who God is.
Yeah, and that's very true. And I think a lot of times people come in as Christians, and even when they get the power of the Holy Spirit, they become very spiritually pleasure seekers, as we call them. You know, they're seeking the highs of God and not wanting to do the battle. And they think as long as we can keep in these warm fuzzies or these worship services or be praying in groups that just pray that we're going to be fine, but we are not actually going out and taking the kingdom of God, because taking the kingdom of God means that we also go out where the sinners are. Mm-hmm. And we have to go back and take back what was ours to begin with so that they're not staying in that place of sin. And that we're able, for instance, in the school system, you know, that some of the teachings that are there, instead of allowing some of the teachings that are going on in the school system that are contrary to the Word of God, that we can go in there confidently and knowing that we're going to enter a battle, and it's not going to be easy, but we carry the authority of God. Mm-hmm. And how dare they try to take away what is ours? Because God gave us this world through the blood of Jesus Christ.
You know,
so it's that kind of thinking.
Yeah, and oftentimes it's a matter of just standing on the Word and saying, no, you can't.
Exactly.
No, you can't. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That's one of the lessons I'm learning these days, and it's been a very, very interesting lesson to learn. You know, what surprises me talking about the schools is that they are refusing to allow prayer, Christian prayer, in the classroom, and yet another form of religion, Buddhism, is being taught frequently, meditation and yoga in schools.
Right.
And that's just another religion.
Right.
So,
And you know, I was just with somebody who's a missionary from Bolivia, and he came up here and he met a man from his different works that he's done that actually is an attorney, and they said that actually the laws in California and in Massachusetts are more in favor lining up with the Word of God and allowing Jesus Christ to be taught in schools than any other state in the United States. But we've been intimidated to say that no, we have to separate church and state, or if you bring Jesus Christ in, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yet our laws are actually favorable towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to look at things and say, okay, God, this is not, we need to stand up and say, no, if they can teach Ramadan, bring in them, teach the Quran or Buddhism, they have to allow us to speak and stand up for the truth, which is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't do that. We want to stay in our own little Christian world and send our kids to Christian schools and just have this kind of community that we just kind of stay and wait till we just make it through this life till we get to heaven. And the Lord knows that we're to subdue the earth. We're to go into all the nations and preach the gospel and the good news and to tell them that Jesus Christ is here to save and to redeem and to set people free. And so many times we don't do that. We want to stay in our own little Christian communities, and we don't want to do the warfare.
Well, it's comfortable.
Right, it's very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Yeah. And we become ineffective. And I think that really is why so much of the government and school systems and so many things that we're experiencing today is we've got some of the biggest churches in the world right here in the United States. So we have some of the largest churches, and yet we're not, we've been very ineffective in changing our laws and bringing in Christians into government, places of government, and taking back what is ours as a Christian nation. We've been given it over to ideologies of liberalism that are not lined up with the Word of God, and they're the people that are in power instead of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet we got these large churches that are amazing in terms of preaching the gospel, but they're not effective.
Right.
And it's kind of that having the power of God, but knowing who God is, but denying the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so my heart is, but I think a lot of it, the other side of the coin too, which is why I do the one-on-one and doing classes, is because I've been involved also in a lot of higher level governmental positions in churches and such, and people get up in those positions, and if their hearts haven't been healed, they when the pressure comes or when the enemy comes to battle, because they don't understand the battle they're in, they end up making decisions that can defile or change the course of what God originally intended for that church or that organization, and wound many people in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been through several church splits. I've been through some battles in some organizations, and those were very unfortunate things, because there were some walking wounded that are still not going to church today because of those things.
Mm.
And so my heart is, we got to start on the first level, is let's get your heart under the government of God. Let's see what he says about dealing with the spirit of offense and rejection and bitterness and an unloving spirit and those kind of things, so that your heart is free, so you can fly and be clean and not have any roots from where people try to pull you into being rejected or being offended. They don't have any hooks in you,
mm-hmm.
because you've been cleaned out.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I had the privilege of being in a Bible study with Georgette, and you certainly do have a teacher's heart. You loved,
yeah.
discipling and teaching people, and you are wonderful at it.
Well, thank you. I didn't know I was a teacher, actually, until the last 5 years. I think I was teaching, but not knowing I was a teacher.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And that's where I see that so many things could be different, or so many things in people's lives could be different. And they're great people. They love the Lord, but they don't have the knowledge or the understanding to do the battle, and so they get overtaken. And that made my heart just so sad, because I none of us want to see our people that we love go through difficult times if they don't have to.
Right. You know, it's when you said that scripture passage, people perish for the lack of knowledge, when you were talking earlier, that came right to my mind.
Yeah.
And it certainly is true. Well, now, tell us about some of the miracles that have happened as a result of your ministry.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is a neat little miracle that's happened. I mean, there's many, and I am trying to think of some. But the biggest miracle to me is my heart has been started with women, because I can only do this in the morning because I have a family. And men work, so I have women. And the women, once they take the class, they say, oh, we want our husbands. They go home and teach their husbands this stuff. They start talking about, they share about the books that I give them. And so the men were looking for something, and I just couldn't do it for them, because I can't teach at night. I've got family. And so long story short is we started a men's group out of this, that the men are just flying with a former pastor of mine that has worked with me on this. And so he's discipling these men. And so that's been a really neat fruit of what we're starting to do, and starting, my goal next is to really get couples, but we're starting with what we have right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is just a miracle, to see these men on fire for God, where they were just complacent and kind of like not really taking their spiritual authority in their families they're now taking their spiritual authority.
Praise God.
I have another woman that's been in my class a couple, she's taken it twice, actually. And her daughter was going on a missions trip to Mexico, really was raised this money, had garage sales, you know, was really excited about going and put a lot of effort into getting there. Well, a week before she's going on the missions trip, she fell and she broke her ankle. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, we're going to have to put a cast on it. You won't be able to go on this trip to Mexico. And my a friend who had taken the class said, my daughter, I realized that all the effort she had put into this, she said, wait a minute, I have the power of God living in me. This is not God's will for my daughter. He wants her on that mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
She began to pray for her daughter. Her daughter's ankle got healed.
Praise God.
And she's 12 years old. And then my friend looked at her after her daughter got healed and said, now, you've been healed. You have when you overcome something, you now have authority. So when you go to Mexico, you pray for people that need healing because you carry that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that girl went on this missions trip to Mexico, began to pray for everybody she knew. And I don't know if she saw any healings or not. We never got that far. But just the fact that she was number one, would have never thought even praying for her daughter outside of what a doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding her authority in God. And then also that she would then impart that authority and teach her daughter.
Yes. What a blessing.
That's been an amazing, that was really a blessing. I have another friend that, I have several in marriages and families that have just experienced incredible miracles in their families as they're teaching these kids these principles. And they are walking in victory with their kids, and they're teaching their kids as they go to school how to deal with these things that kids deal with on a major, you know, an everyday basis, such things as rejection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets that thing of not being picked for a team or not being invited to the party that everybody mm-hmm. else is going
mm-hmm.
to. And how to pray through that and understand the battle so that they're not overtaken by it.
Right, yeah.
And I have another woman. I'm trying to think of specific things. You should have asked me this. I could have pulled it out of my drawer, all my testimonies. I can't think right now. But I know one woman, her kids, after praying with them, going through the praying deliverance and helping them with dealing with rejection and bitterness and offense, that their kids' grades have gone from a C student to an A student.
Wow.
So that's been an amazing, amazing story.
That is amazing.
I got several women that I choose that just went and said, were in my class that when they came in the class they could barely even speak, and they kind of always hid in the class in the back, and finally they started getting it and started understanding their authority, and now that when anybody needs prayer and we ask somebody would like prayer, they're the first ones up. Their face and their countenance has changed. It's just amazing when everybody sees them, they just notice the difference in them immediately. They're walking in their power of God, what they were originally intended to and created to do.
Yes, isn't that wonderful when you see that kind of transformation in people?
Sure. Right. And I have had people that have been in career changes that, they were kind of stuck where they were, and as they started getting free in the Lord and started taking their authority, their career, their job started changing, and they were moving back into the track that they needed to be in.
So it's affecting all areas of life.
Right. Right.
If someone wants to find out more about this ministry, how would they? Do you have a website or an email address or a phone number they can contact you?
I have my website is www.transformedheart.org. And if you want to email me, you can email me at Georgette@transformedheart.org.
Okay, transformedheart.org.
Right.
And Georgette@transformedheart.org.
org, right.
Yes, having a hard time with my tongue today.
Yeah.
Well, it is just so exciting to hear the wonderful things that you're doing with people. This is just very exciting because they're learning the power of
right.
being a Christian, and they're
right.
learning the Lord's power, and it's an amazing thing when that happens.
And mostly they're learning the schemes and the tricks of the enemy that are keeping them from being fully who they are in God,
mm-hmm.
and their destiny. You know, you asked me about a scripture early on, if I had a scripture.
Yes.
And I want to read this one. It's funny because just before we started to talk, God had given me the scripture. And it's from Revelation 2. It's addressing the church of Ephesus. And it says, these are the words of to him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked men, and you've been tested, and those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship in my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do things as you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from your place. If you have this in your favor, you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying to the churches. Now, at the beginning of this, it says that they were great people. These are the people that I was running with. They were great Christians. They were amazing people. They were giving their money. They were dedicated to the Lord. They were tithing, all those kind of things. But over the years of being a Christian for a long time, they had gone into the works of being a Christian and had lost their first love.
Right.
The things of this, and then when it talked about the Nicolaitans, the Nicolaitans were people who were Jewish, but they had added the cult, the practices and the cultures of the world,
mm-hmm.
the pagan cultures around them, into their life, and so they had lost the power of God. And that's what I believe we've done, is we haven't denied Christ, but we have added the practices and the belief systems and the thoughts of this world to come in and become more part of our life instead of saying no to them. And they've diluted the power of God. So God's gone from big G to little G
mm-hmm.
in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to bring back that fire and passion that people had when they first came to the Lord, and to be aware and eliminate those things that they've added into their lifestyle that is not biblical. It's not Jesus plus this and this. It is Jesus alone.
Right.
And so what happens is our unbelief, when we don't see God as our main source, unbelief sets in, and then we don't understand the power and authority we have in God, and we become powerless
mm-hmm.
to overtake the enemy.
And it gets to be a vicious cycle.
Right.
The less you believe, the less you trust, the less you believe, the less you trust, and it's just a downward spiral.
Right. And then we wonder where God is, and our love for him becomes diluted by good works. And it becomes, it's kind of deceiving because we're doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't come out of that love relationship that you've started out with when you had the Lord. When you're full with God's love and intimacy and power, you spill out to everybody that you're in contact with.
Yes.
And you don't have to go looking for a ministry or looking to do good work, because it just comes out of you.
Yes, and I think that that's why this ministry is so important, because it does really do that to people. And what a blessing you must be to everyone that gets to take these series of classes.
Well, I'm blessed by them because I understand their struggle. Just because I teach, I also have to battle the same things they battle. And I know, but I know the victory. I'm better at it now than I was when I first started. And that's what I always encourage them with. Don't expect to be the best, but now you're aware and you're going to be better in 1 year than you are now. And in 2 years, you're going to be even better. And in 3 years, you're going to be even stronger. And so it's a process of walking it out, of having the knowledge, the understanding, the awareness, more the awareness than knowledge, and then being able to battle it on a daily basis till it doesn't affect you anymore.
Well, thank God for you.
Oh,
and for your
thank
ministry.
God for the Lord.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. Know, can I say one thing?
Yeah. Sure.
I loved in that movie, A Beautiful Mind, where, he's schizophrenic. And at the end, he's going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. And the man that's interviewing him to get the Nobel Peace Prize looks at him and says, "Do you still hear the voices?" And the man who had the schizophrenic, the star of the movie, I can't remember his name, says, "I still hear them, but I don't give them any power anymore."
Yes, and that is the whole story, isn't it?
That's the whole story.
Yeah.
We're still going to be hit, but because of your awareness, you don't give it any power.
Well, thank
you. You walk in freedom.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Georgette. I think this is just a wonderful revelation to the people that are listening, and I think you're going to hear from some people on this and wanting to know more about it and how they can get your videos and your course curriculum.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Thank you for having me.